Welcome to Death, Lies, and Alibis. I'm your host, Christy, and this is the podcast that dives deep into the dark and eerie world of local cold cases. Now, we're in Zanesville. It's a small, lovely town nestled in the heart of Ohio. It's bustling with tight-knit neighborhoods, friendly faces, and a sense of security that you expect from any small town. But beneath the idyllic surface lies a hidden darkness, a collection of unanswered questions that have lingered over the years. So grab your headphones, lock your doors, and be prepared to enter a world where the truth has invaded justice. Hi, folks. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. I'm so glad you're here. If you're a new listener, welcome, and I do hope you stick around till the end. Today, we unveil the final chapter of Jimmy Frecker's story. Now, this is a tale that has haunted our streets for decades. But before we dive into the heart of that story, here's a glimpse back at the soul of the story. In our initial episode, we introduced you to the quiet, unassuming life of Jimmy Frecker. Now, we painted a picture of a man who, despite a low profile, had a significant impact on his community here in Muskingum County. Jimmy's devout faith and quiet generosity came to a tragic and violent end in March 1990 under circumstances that left the town reeling and searching for answers. We dove into that night that changed everything, the discovery of Jimmy's bloody and beaten body in his own home, a scene that spoke of a brutal and horrific crime. Now, with no signs of forced entry, but a clear evidence of a struggle, a violent struggle, we were left with more questions than answers. The lack of concrete clues and motive only added to the mystery of Jimmy's untimely demise. Now, in our second episode, we shifted our focus to the investigation and the persons of interest. We explored the challenges of the case as the local sheriff's department had to thread through those murky waters, and it was led back then by Sheriff Bernie Gibson. Now, that episode centered around four individuals who came under suspicion, each with their own potential motives and connections to Jimmy. We discussed the possibility of the motive being revenge, linked to a prior incident involving three young men, which were Sean Brownfield, Brian Dooley, and William Brunton, who were convicted of robbing Jimmy, yep, just a year before his murder. Now, their criminal backgrounds and further crime activities only raise questions about their potential involvement in Jimmy's death. But our attention then turned to Troy Nelson because he was the individual who emerged as Sheriff Gibson's main suspect, and we looked into his relationship with Jimmy. Our conversation with Troy, well, it revealed his struggles with alcoholism and blackouts during that period. And to me, that showed that there is a shadow of doubt and makes me question his actions and his whereabouts of that night. Now, as we proceed with our third and final episode, we continue to seek justice for Jimmy, the story of a life cut tragically short, and a mystery that still haunts the community here of Zanesville. We're going to take what we've learned from his story and focus on actionable advice to keep our homes safe and support our community. I thought that was just a great, great thing to do. Remember, because Jimmy fell victim to not just one, but two home invasions. The first one took his possessions, and the second tragically took his life. So let's learn from this. Let's ensure our own safety. So we're going to talk to Arthur from Frank's Home Security, and we're going to get some good tips that we all need to know. I mean, we're going to also talk about advocating for new testing for evidence on Jimmy's case. I'm so excited about that. And finally, we'll touch on what you can do if you're a victim of crime here in Muskingum County and what resources we have, what's out there for you. We're going to dive deep right now into home safety. I've invited Arthur Stokes from Brinks Home Security. He's going to tell us all about some inexpensive, and we like that, inexpensive, and intriguing ways we can keep our home safe. Now, Brinks Home Security has more than 15 years of experience in smart home security solutions. They are a proven leader in smart home technology and security, promoting a hassle-free home of security and automation experience. So So, in today's episode, we're going to talk about the heart of our home security here, our home safety. And it's going to have a special focus on our own backyard here, right here in Zanesville. Because Zanesville, like many small towns, will pride ourselves on our close-knit community. And we like seeing the comfort of familiar faces. Yet, as we have seen in this heartbreaking story of Jimmy's, no community is immune to any unexpected shadows that can fall on any home. So, to shed some light on how we can protect our homes and our loved ones, we brought in Arthur from Home Security. Arthur, it's really great to have you here. I'm so glad you joined us.
Thank you, Christy. It's important for communities like Zanesville to stay vigilant. While you enjoy lower crime rates than big cities, it's that very sense of security that can sometimes make us complacent.
Absolutely. And with Zanesville's unique layout, it's nestled along the Muskingum River. What specific advice would you give to our residents?
Well, for starters, considering your beautiful but secluded areas, motion-activated lights can be a game-changer. They're not just for deterring unwanted guests, but also for guiding your way home on those dark, winding roads. Reinforced door locks. Start with upgrading your door locks to deadbolts, which provide a higher level of security. Adding strike plates with longer screws makes it harder for doors to be kicked in.
Oh, that's good to know. Okay, what about windows?
Besides bars on your windows, there's window frosting spray or film on garage and basement windows to prevent burglars from seeing inside while still letting light in.
You know, I've heard things about that security film. Good things. I've not seen it. Okay, let's go on about talking about lighting.
Good lighting is a deterrent to burglars. Install motion-activated lights around your property, particularly at entry points. This not only startles would-be intruders, but also alerts you and your neighbors to potential suspicious activity. I like this one. Use timers on electronics. Plug lamps, TVs, or radios into timers to make it appear like someone is home, even when you're away. This can deter burglars who prefer to target empty homes.
Okay, that's interesting and sounds very helpful.
Good. Keep shrubs and trees trimmed. Overgrown vegetation can provide cover for burglars. Keeping your landscaping maintained removes potential hiding spots. These next ones are easy for your listeners. Security signs and stickers. Even if you don't have a full security system, placing security signs or stickers on your property can act as a deterrent. Also, create a beware of dog sign even if you don't own one, along with fake security cameras. Also, another way to go is Wi-Fi doorbell cameras. Some affordable Wi-Fi enabled doorbell cameras allow you to see and communicate with anyone at your door through your smartphone, adding a layer of security.
Great, we've talked about all that. Now, what do we do about our valuables in our home?
Keep valuables out of sight and consider using a safe for important documents and expensive items. There's also many small to medium safes that look like everyday household items. Last but not least is social media caution. Be mindful of what you post on social media, especially regarding being away from home. Share vacation photos after you return, not while you're away. Remember, the goal is to make your home a less attractive target to burglars and increase your peace of mind.
Okay, one more thing before we wrap up our interview here. Let's talk about being vigilant. Can you tell us about the importance of being vigilant and awareness in keeping our home safe, especially in these close-knit communities?
Exactly. In a town like Zanesville, neighbors looking out for each other is one of the strongest defenses. A simple neighborhood watch program or even a community WhatsApp group can make a big difference. It extends to knowing your neighbors, understanding the usual patterns of the community, and recognizing when something seems out of place.
Right, and for our listeners, seeking reliable and straightforward information on home security without all that hassle and burden of technical jargon, we'll have some accessible resources posted on our Facebook group. It'll be on our homepage in the files section. Arthur, we want to thank you. I want to thank you so much for being here.
You're welcome, Christy, and thank you for letting your community know how to stay safe on a budget.
It was very, very valuable information, and it was tailored to our Muskingum County here. It's clear that taking steps toward better home security doesn't just protect our homes. Listen, it really doesn't. It strengthens the fabric of our entire community. So if you or someone you know have been a victim of crime, contact local authorities like the Muskingum County Sheriff's Department. They can guide you to the necessary services. The Victims Assistance Program is in our county, and it offers some emotional support and legal navigation. All their information is on our website, and we'll have that on our Facebook group. Seeking mental health support is also vital. Listen, you know I'm an advocate for mental health also. Therapists and counselors can help you process these experiences because you can experience trauma after a crime. Absolutely. And if so, seek help. Don't try to do it alone. That's the last thing you should do. Also, legal aid societies and pro bono lawyers are invaluable for understanding your legal rights and what to do in the process of after the crime. But I know that's, you know, they do what they can here, but they don't really have any funds to work with. The legal system around here, I'll just leave that up to your opinion. Community support. We do have community support groups that offer safe space, and you can share your experience. You can heal together. Also, Ohio Victims of Crime, they have Ohio Victims of Crime Compensation Program. It provides financial assistance for those unexpected expenses related to a crime, things you wouldn't even think of, things you can't think of at the time. And it is a crucial support system for those in need. Because remember, being a crime victim is incredibly challenging, but you're not alone. There are many resources, many, and there's support systems, and they're ready to help. You can join our Facebook group at Death, Lies, and Alibis for more discussions, resources, and community support. Now, in our journey to understand Jimmy, we've learned that he was selective about the company he kept. He wasn't someone who had a large social circle. No, he preferred his hand-picked crew. This is a part of who he was. He was private, he was careful, and in many ways he was a loner. And that fact was that we couldn't find a partner or a lover in Jimmy's life. It raised questions. I mean, is it possible he chose to keep that part of his life even more private? Or perhaps he didn't even have a significant other at the time. I don't know. Maybe his partner lived out of town. Regardless, it don't matter. It's important to remember that Jimmy, like many in the LGBTQ+ community, might have challenges in openly expressing their identity and relationships. Some people struggle, some don't. Our interviews and research indicate that despite being openly gay, Jimmy wasn't targeted, or he wasn't even harassed for his sexuality, so he was well-respected. He worked at Burnham Broiler, and he was a hard worker. I talked to a couple of his coworkers. They said he was a hard worker. He was known for being kind. He had a quiet demeanor. So this just challenges the theory that it might be a hate crime because there just was no evidence. And y'all know I researched and I talked about his criminal background in the late 60s. What do you guys think? Do you think it could have been one of those boys that he molested? I mean, of course, that could be a possibility of revenge right there. I mean, a grown-up adult might have snapped or been planning it, and just even the so-called store. Honestly, I don't know. I can't know. I mean, I can't find out. Those records are sealed, and there is no further information I can find out. If anyone knows anything or wants to talk, please reach out to us or, of course, law enforcement. Let's honor Jimmy's memory by respecting his life choices and seeking justice for the crime that took his life. That's what's important. Let's remember that at the core of the story is a man who lived, loved, and left a lasting impact on those who knew him. Okay, now I'm going to talk about advocating for Jimmy and how we can be his voice. I'm excited about this. Folks, as we stand at the crossroads of hope and justice in this very cool case of Jimmy Freckers, it's time, I mean, it's really time. We need to ask for a fresh set of eyes on the new evidence because it's been laid dormant for over 30 years. Remember Sheriff Gibson's words back then. Back in the day, he was convinced that they had enough evidence to convict. He was quoted, it was reported in a newspaper, yet later, all we heard was all that evidence they found was Jimmy's. Now, I'm sorry, that just doesn't sit right with us, does it? Because with leaps and bounds, we've seen in the forensic science, re-examining evidence isn't just a possibility now, it's a necessity. We're not just talking about going through the motions. We're talking about bringing in the big guns. I want you to know that we have a new advocacy group called DLA Advocacy, Death, Lies, Alibis Advocacy, and we have a meeting with our prosecutor, Welch, and we're feeling so good about that meeting, and we're really excited about the future of these cold cases. Because this isn't just about stirring up the past for the sake of it or for a podcast or all that. It's about seeking the truth that not only Jimmy, but our community deserves. It's about making sure that we've turned every stone, we've looked under every leaf, and we've asked every hard question. Really? Because the FBI's involvement in Jimmy's case back in 1990, that could be the key to unlocking the answers that has invaded us. It could be bringing a new light to this case. It really could, because our upcoming meeting with Prosecutor Welch, it's an important opportunity. It's to deepen our understanding of the legal system and the investigation process in these cases. That will help so much. By presenting our questions to Mr. Welch, we can expect to gain insight on how these cases are approached, the challenges that they face, and the avenues available for community involvement. But did you just hear what I said, folks? Okay, I'll repeat it again. The avenues available for community involvement. Get the friends and family involved in some kind of process. Make us a tool. Quit treating us less than important and leave the arrogance at the door. I'm hoping this will strengthen the communication gap between our community and the legal system and make sure that our concerns are heard and just addressed. That's all we want. Now, exploring Jimmy's case, we have looked into the dark shadows of our town, but we've also seen the light, too. How we can come together in times of need and how we do support each other, we've seen that. Jimmy's story, as heartbreaking as it is, it reminds us to look out for one another. It keeps our doors locked, but our hearts open. So, as we close this chapter, let's keep Jimmy's memory alive in the best way we can by being a caring and watchful community. Let's use what we've learned from his story to protect ourselves and our neighbors. All right, folks, that's it for this episode of Death, Lies, and Alibis. We hope that by shining a light on these local cold crimes, we spark something within you, our listeners. Because the truth is, solving these cases will take more than just our words. It's going to require the dedication and collective efforts of the entire community. Don't forget to hit the like button on the podcast so you'll never miss an episode. And to learn more about how to get your case featured on the show, or you can get instant access to files and reports plus documents. Oh, and we have many free resources. Go to our Facebook group, Death, Lies, and Alibis, and join today, or you can email us at deathliesalibis@gmail.com. As always, be safe, stay alert, and never stop seeking justice.